But on the other side, I guess, you know, I've heard from gallery owners, they'll do a show, people will show up for the openings, they'll come and drink the wine and they'll eat the hors d'oeuvres, but they're not buying the art. What needs to be done to communicate that there's more to supporting the art community than just showing up?
Well, that's a gallery's job. I mean, you know, they take 50% typically, and some galleries take more, and you're in the bigger markets. Mm-hmm. It is their job to figure out how to sell the work. It's not the artist's job to figure that out. The artist just needs to produce the work. I hate to be so bold and harsh. At the same time, though, I think we need to also understand buying trends. Mm-hmm. Nobody really buys a $600 or $700 painting unless you're prepared to buy a $600 or $700 painting. And I've talked to people like Scott LaFonce, who owns LaFonce Galleries with his wife Linda. Mm-hmm. They have said, on an average, it takes about 2 to 3 visits to buy a large piece.
Okay.
So the idea, the people who might complain about they come in and drink my wine and everything like that. The reality is you're not serving usually that great of wine, so stop complaining. And most importantly, it's an education process. And I don't like going to openings because I like looking at the art. And it's very difficult when it becomes a social scene to have those opportunities to look at the work, meet the artists. So when they get to be too big, I tend to run away from them because I really want to do right by the artists because they, after all, put the most of the work into what's on the walls usually.
I think that we really are working on educating an audience to purchase work. And when we're looking at a community that's really pushing this idea of buy local, we should be also pushing that as far as where you're purchasing your home goods, where you're purchasing your artwork from. You know, I go to, if I go to what home, like big box retail store, like Bed Bath & Beyond, you know, and I walk in and there's an entire wall of the most insanely heinous, sorry for anybody who has this hanging in their living room, you know, work from that's like mass produced corporate,
right,
you know, artwork versus you could spend the same amount, $35 or $40 at a local gallery or at one of our shows and purchase something where you get to meet the artist, you engage with them, you have a conversation, and it's an original.
And somebody
there's
put
only
their heart
one
and
of
soul
us.
Into that.
And somebody put their heart and soul in it. And that's a really an education process to let people know that art is accessible. I think the same way that we have to let people know that fresh fruit is accessible and that locally produced goods of any sort are accessible to them. And where can they find them? We're overcoming a challenge of letting people know when and where they can engage, purchase work, find it, how they can get to know a little bit more about the work so that they know it's a good fit for them.
Well, talking about the education process, I mean, what do you guys wish that the community would understand better about artists?
Well, I think the stats are out there that show that when you have a group of people that are educated, you know, and I'm not talking about adults here, I'm talking about children. When you have a community that has an arts education, you're going to be more well-equipped to deal with what life is going to throw at you because you've learned to be creative and respond through a creative mechanism. I mean, places like where you've served on the board at WIMCAP, you know, that's a great example where the kids who come there, the only thing that's expected of them is to create, to do something. And the idea is to get them doing something. It's not to become little factories to sell work and get stuff cranked out and have a show. It's about getting them to express themselves. So I think, first and foremost, I think looking at education, it has to start at a much younger age and stop being the first thing we cut in our culture.
Right.
Every time we go after and say, nothing else gets cut, but, oh, arts, you're done right away. I mean, there's a value to it. We have the studies to prove it.
Yeah, I mean, I went to school for a reason, you know. The education has definitely helped me. It's gotten me immersed into the community as well. I mean, my professors have pushed me to jump into new things, and what they've taught me is, I mean, it's gotten me somewhere. It's not something to say, oh yeah, you go to school and you get an education. You could learn that anywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe that to be true. So yeah, education has got me somewhere and it's pushing me in the right direction. But
One of the things that I see with, you know, with art students who are graduating with their undergraduate degree, maybe in fine arts, is that they've been taught extremely effective ways of learning, absorbing information, being able to think critically about problem solving, and then because they're so self-motivated within their programs, they're very good at taking on tasks and owning them and completing things. Yet because they have a fine arts degree, it doesn't always seem like employers are looking at that as something that's advantageous. And I don't think that every artist is meant to graduate from art school and then start creating gallery work and sell through a gallery. I think that that's a fable. But when you have a communications degree, mm-hmm. you have a broader job market. When you have a fine arts degree, people don't see the value in that because they think of it still as picture making.
Okay.
And I want, you know, prospective employers within the community to think about individuals who are entering the job market who have a fine arts degree. They are going to be really great at communications work. They're going to be really great at event planning. They're going to be really great at, you know, doing any sort of work where you're looking at engaging people in processes. Not all people, not all artists are great at those things, but a lot of people are walking out with these great problem solving skills. Mm-hmm. Communications, I think, is just one of those that's just such a natural fit.
I think, you know, you've hit on something that about 10 years ago they released a study that they were showing that more and more BA majors were going for their MBAs in filmmaking. And the reason they were doing it was because they already knew how to work a spreadsheet. They knew how to make the presentation, for the most part, look good with the numbers. Mm-hmm. But how are they going to sell that plan? How are they going to sell whatever information they're going to represent their company? And filmmaking is an arts-based community. They use filmmaking to learn how to be better at PowerPoint, mm-hmm. how to be better with any kind of like visuals they would create, how to tell the story if they use video. And so I think what Jen is hitting on is the idea that West Michigan companies have always benefited. If you look at the real successful ones, Herman Miller, a great example. Mm-hmm. Who are the partnerships we're still talking about today? Eames, Noguchi, Nelson. All these were artists to begin with. If you watch the story of the Eames, I mean, you can't find a more crazy, unhinged, group of artists that were just saying, we're going to go make this now, and we're going to use bent plywood. It'll be great. Like, whatever. You know, and yet they did it. And now look at the industry. It pops up around it. And I'm not saying everything we have to do is around industry, mm-hmm. but I like the fact that there are companies here that have a history of supporting artists. What other companies are out there that are looking for something fresh and new? Time to do the
right.
That's
an excellent point. Now, folks who want to find out more about your work as well as Art Downtown, where can they go?
Tommy, where can people find more about your work?
Well, I'm by appointment only. I'm old. actually, I have a I'd be remiss if I didn't say I have a gallery in Holland. So I'm a part of a gallery called the Nines Gallery in mm-hmm. downtown Holland. It's not on 8th, it's on 10th. Mm-hmm. And I've been there for probably about 12 years now or more. I was with Underground Studio for a long time when it was before La Fonse. Mm-hmm. You can find my work there out in Holland. You can find it here by appointment at my gallery. You can find me online, TommyAllenArt.com.
Okay.
And that's how you find me.
I actually have a show coming up in May. It's the first time that I've had a solo exhibition in a few years, and it's going to be at the DAC May 2nd. I am purposely only having a one-night exhibition, so people have to get off their butts and come down and see the work. It's an accumulation of about 3 years' worth of work, and so you can come and see some highly personal narcissistic work all hung up and on the wall. And Annie, do you want to talk about how people can find out more about Art Downtown?
Yeah, so Art Downtown, you can find more. We have a Facebook. We have an Avenue for the Arts group that you can find a lot of Art Downtown stuff there. The website for Art Downtown is artdowntowngr.com. And you can find ways to, when you come downtown to park, you can find different things that are happening throughout the night. And there should be maps and stuff available there.
And that date is April 12th, so mark your calendars for that one.
Yep.
Well, and I think one other thing, while we're talking about hawking events, there was a time where there was only one art gallery event on a Friday night here. I remember it very well, and you saw the same people all the time. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about West Michigan now, there is no excuse to staying at home and just, I mean, you can zone out if you want to. I'm not going to judge you on that. But the reality is people who complain there's nothing to do for right. the arts here just is not getting out. There's lectures that are going on. There are art gallery openings all the time. There are performances all the time. And I'm not just talking fine art. I mean, it is across the board.
Sure.
It's almost impossible to stay home if you look at the schedule.
I agree.
But people who complain and say there's nothing to do just aren't reading. And that's a problem because reading is fundamental.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you want to connect and find out more about what's happening in downtown Grand Rapids, come to our website, which is avenuefortthearts.com. We have a list of some of the upcoming events, and on our Facebook group, people are always posting about their own stuff and trying to share that and gain an audience. So please check it out.
This is Paul Jindrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I've been joined by Tommy Allen from Allen Flagar Studio at Tanglefoot, Jen Schaub and Annie DeYoung chatting about Art Downtown coming up Friday, April 12th, 400 artists at 38 venues, and we've been chatting about the Grand Rapids art scene. Thanks so much for joining me, guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Paul.
You.